Wow.
Please join me in the
It's only been about a year or so.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and do we have anybody here for public comment? Hearing none, we will move on to new business, and I'm going to change the order of the new business. I'm going to move committee appointments up to first place. So we will be voting on the members and the assignment, and then I'll give you two guys your oath. Okay, Melissa Anderson is going to be on, would like to be on the zoning board.
I believe she currently is.
It's a reappointment.
It's a reappointment. Position regular, reappointment, and I guess it's it would be starting from today until the March of 2023. So I make a motion that we approve the reappointment of Melissa Anderson to the Zoning Board of Adjustment, with a term for this position is from this date until March of 2023.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstaining, ayes have it. Melissa is reappointed. We have an application for Ray Massey to the Conservation Commission. Would make a motion that we approve the reappointment of Ray Massey to the Conservation Commission. The term for this position is from this date until March of 2023.
A second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstaining, ayes have it. Motion carries. We have a reappointment. We have an application and to reappoint Richard Ayers to the Conservation Commission. I would make a motion that we approve the appointment for Richard Ayers to the Conservation Commission. The term for this position is from this date until March 2023.
A second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining, ayes have it. Richard is reappointed. We have a an appointment to for Colleen Long. This is a first time appointment as a regular member of the Recreation Commission. So I would make a motion that we appoint Colleen Long to the Recreation Commission. The term for this position is from the state until March of 2023.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Do I hear any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstaining, ayes have it. Colleen's appointment is approved. We have a reappointment of Mr. Donald Bormas to the Planning Board. I would make a motion that we approve the reappointment of Donald Bormas to the Planning Board. The term for this position is from this date until March of 2023.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion?
Are you sure? Because you're going to have to put up with it. Right?
Hearing none. Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstaining, ayes have it. Mr. Gormus is reappointed. And we have a volunteer application for the reappointment of William Ellis to the Planning Board. So I would make a motion.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would make a motion that we reappoint Will Ellis to the Planning Board. The term for this position is from this date until March of 2023.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Ellis is reappointed. So, I'll take you guys on one, but one at a time. Because we have two different boards. So, Greg, you want to come up? On the 16th day of September 2020, the Town of Samberton Board of Selectmen reappointed Richard Raymond Massey to the Conservation Commission. Executive Commission? That's a new one.
Did I spell it incorrectly?
The term for this position is from this day until March of 2023. Upon taking of the oath of office and having the appointment and certificate of the oath of office recorded in the office of the municipal clerk, you shall have the powers to perform duties and be subject to the liabilities of such office until term expires. Please raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Ray Massey.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform all duties incumbent upon me.
Discharge and perform all duties incumbent upon me.
As a Conservation Commission member.
As a Conservation Commission member.
For the Town of Samberton.
For the Town of Samberton.
According to the best of my abilities.
According to the best of my abilities.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations of the Constitution and laws of the State of New Hampshire.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations and Constitution. Say that again.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations
of the Constitution.
Of the Constitution
and laws.
And laws
of the State of New Hampshire.
Of the State of New Hampshire. You have to go slow for me.
So help me God.
So help me God. I'm not supposed to say that anymore.
We need you to sign. Oh, we don't need to sign them anymore.
What? The spot where it's supposed to be notarized. And I didn't leave anybody the date on here because I didn't know who was going to be here. So.
Okay, Don, come on up. On the 16th day of September 2020, the Town of Samberton Board of Selectmen appointed Donald Gormus to the Planning Board. The term for this position is from this date until March 2023. Upon taking of the oath of office and having the appointment and certification of the oath of office recorded in the office of the municipal clerk, you shall have the powers to perform duties and be subject to the liabilities of such office until term expires. Please raise your right hand. Repeat after me.
I,
your name?
Donald Gormus. Do solemnly swear.
And affirm.
That I will faithfully.
And impartially. Discharge and perform.
All duties.
Incumbent upon me. As a planning board member. For the town of Samberton. According to the best.
Of my abilities.
Agreeable to the rules.
And regulations.
Of the Constitution. And laws of the State of New Hampshire.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Glad you didn't put four words in there.
Well, I took into consideration your age, Don, so I went slow. Hey, he almost beat me in golf today, so what can I say?
Be careful when you're hitting
it,
he's driving
the car.
I don't drive.
We were in different carts.
I went down and done the donut.
We were in different carts anyway, so. Okay, so these two are signed. Okay. These are the applications, yep. And these are the originals.
Okay.
So.
So I need you guys to sign these.
Okay.
Signature time? Right.
Okay, moving on. Transfer station F-250 repair and containment trailer.
I can do this from right here, right?
Sure.
Yep.
Can you hear me? So I have a verbal quote from Lake Region Truck on doing the suspension and the inspection for the F-250. So that's about $2,300. So I don't have an actual, they're supposed to send it to me, but I don't have it yet. I'll email it to you as soon as I get it.
Okay.
And then, so the idea of the truck suspension is that it doesn't have any oomph left to it. And so we're going to change it from a 250 to a 350 rear suspension so that it will maintain, in theory, what I'm thinking is another 5 years of use. So you do have the quote for Von Hanser Auto Body. That is to patch the fenders and put stainless steel flatbed with a cab protector bed on.
Okay. Quartz of aluminum. That's the only reason I'm making a face.
You say aluminum.
Yes, aluminum.
Okay.
So there's another $3,020. We're also going to have to do compactor maintenance at the same time. And in all of that, I need to think about covering the equipment and maintenance repair that went over by $565. For backhoe repair. Mm-hmm. So, if we look, I don't know if you have the budget expense in front of you.
Can you move that again?
Or I have August. This is the only reason that I have.
That's the line we have, too.
Okay. So, if you look at line 190, that was a line that hasn't been used in my short time here. So I added that into potential numbers that I have for covering over expenditures on other lines. So you got 653 on line 190. You have 220 on line 353. On line 685. I've done inventory several times on tags and bags, and I think I can manage by grabbing $1,000 out of that line because I think I'm going to make it right into next July before I need to reorder some of that. The miscellaneous line, I believe I can pull another $1,000 out of that. 690. And then 694, I'm pretty sure I can pull 1,200 out of that. Now, mind you, this all entails that I basically don't do any spending that doesn't have to absolutely be done on any of the other lines. We're at 16.8% into the budget already, and it's almost the end of this month, too. So that gives us a total, if I can pull pull those funds out of those lines or have those funds in that line, in those lines, that gives us $4,073. We have the vehicle repair line, which is the 660. It's 3,600 there. So that's going to give us a total of 8,146. So all of that being said, the total cost, including the compactor maintenance, the suspension and inspection of the truck, and the truck bed installed, is $6,720, or thereabouts, which leaves $861 to play with out of those five different lines. So I guess my story at the end of the day is I think not knowing what's going to go on with contract services and trucking, I think we can pull this all off without going over.
Which is always a good thing.
That's the theory. So that $861 that's left over might not be left over. I've got a septic that's going to be pumped next week. I don't know what line that comes out of. I was going to speak to you about that next week. What is it?
Buildings.
Building maintenance. It doesn't.
Saved again.
Right. So any potential money that is left out of everything that's been done there would go to contract services, obviously. So I guess what I need is I've already moved forward with Lakes Region Truck. They've ordered the parts because that's going to be $2,300, so I was able to move forward with that part of it. I guess what I'm asking for is, can I move forward with Answer Auto for the other $3,000?
Is this the? This is just the patching of the fenders, right?
Correct. And there would be money in next year's budget to replace the fenders. Out of the $3,600 that's in theory will be in that line again for next year. And that's a $1,600 or $1,800.
And you're, I guess, the only thing I'm looking at, I don't see any reference to the fender in Hanser's quote. And I know we need to get those done to pass inspection.
Well, if he's going to do it for more money, then I'll just do it. It's just, how do you think? Write a little bond off.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do it for this price, he said he would. Okay.
Yeah, well... And that's part of it. You know, you've had the conversation with him, so.
I mean, this has a bunch of jibber-jabber that doesn't mean anything. Jason will be back here in town to take good care of us.
Yeah. I just don't want Nate having to, you know, go through this again, so.
Why? Right. It'll only take me 10 minutes to do what it needs to be.
All
right. This won't be pretty.
So
he doesn't guarantee this price either.
It's an estimate.
Yeah.
Right. The theory is that there's not, it's not like fixing the backhoe. You know, it's pretty straightforward. He's not getting any mechanical part of anything. It's just take the old bed off, put the new bed on, make sure it's wired right.
So, you know, for my part, I want to applaud Nate for coming to us with a solution rather than a problem. I mean, to dig in, find, identify places where you can take money out of, because you will almost undoubtedly run into areas where you can't cover it with the trucking and the contracted services. So, you know, to me, it's great to see you taking ownership of your budget and trying to figure out how you're going to make it all work. And I think, you know, if we can get that truck back in good condition, like you said, keep it on the road for another 5 years, gives us time to plan, you know, for a replacement and get some money put away so that we don't have to get a surprise come the time it finally dies. So.
How many miles on the truck? Just under 90.
Yeah, it's really body stuff.
Hard miles.
Yeah.
Hard miles, but it's not like we're putting, you know, 15,000 miles on it.
That used to be the director's truck, right?
Correct.
Utility and plowing in the winter when we need parking lots and small roads.
That vehicle came from the highway department
in
the beginning. And probably had quite a few miles on it when you got it.
Yeah, I don't even think I put 2,000 miles on it in a year.
Yeah.
But, I would actually have a break.
Yeah, I know. But like Paul said, they're hard miles.
Yes, they are hard miles.
All right, so I'd make a motion that we approve the quote from Hanser Auto Body for the repair of the F-250 in the amount of $3,020 with the funds to come from line 4324660, vehicle maintenance and repairs, and let Nate work with finance to make the adjustments on his other lines.
I'll second that. Any discussion of the motion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. You have your permission.
Thank you. Now for one of the most longest drawn out And again, they didn't really send, and you do have a copy of this, I believe.
Yep. Okay.
Again, they didn't send it out as I would have wanted it. But I think that we can deal with that when I stamp it to pay it, and I can write on that final payment the date, and then I'll send them a copy of that to end this, because they had the original, which said it was 900 down 900 to finish, which was five by seven.
Yep.
Now,
where is the trailer?
It's still on Knox Mountain. I talked to Tim Dalton. He's going to come look at it so that he can give the price, because we also have the price of trucking it from Knox down to the town park. Originally, I think I told you guys something like 300 or under. I don't have record of that. I looked for it yesterday. I don't have record of what I said. So he was supposed to come meet me this week after work. He didn't. I talked to him today. He's going to try it again for next week. So this continues to go on. But so I guess at the end of the day, I'd like permission to pay for it, but I'm not going to pay for it until it's sitting at the park.
So we approved this purchase, seems like it was eons ago. It was about a year. We paid for it out of the miscellaneous line where we had put a portion of the money we got back from the school district. We had put like $5,000 in the miscellaneous line for things that came up and put the rest toward taxes. But that was FY 20. I'm assuming we didn't have that money encumbered.
Did we talk about this already?
No.
About encumbering it?
Okay. So I was going to propose that we take it either out of your construction and material line or out of the miscellaneous line, but now you've just rearranged those to...
But I have, the theory is I have $800.
Wait. This is... Refresh my memory, this trailer is for the recreation department.
Mm-hmm.
So can you may not take it out of, I know that Amanda's not here, but would it be appropriate to use some of the rec budget for it?
Since the rec department is getting
just really the facilities.
Yeah, no, it makes well, that was what I think part of the rationale of taking it out of that surplus that we got back from the school district was, this wasn't, a Nate transfer station budget item per se. I'm looking to see.
If you have a signed contract for it, do you need to take the second step to specifically encumber? Because you had a signed contract.
Some things we do and some things we don't. Like the stuff, the thing from May, we didn't have to because it was a grant. I'd have to look.
Yeah. Unless somebody goes in and actually tags it and says, don't spend this money because we have a contract, when they reconcile at the end of the FY, it's just all going to get swept into the balance. So it could have been.
Right.
But
I get that.
Probably. It may have been.
Should have been.
Probably. It may have been, but we don't know.
So do we want to revisit this in 2 weeks? They gave me plenty of stories for a year. I give them one.
Yeah, and then that'll give you a chance to get the trucking quote ironed out. I don't think there's any issue with going forward. It's just we want to
figure out where.
Pay for it out of the right place, and it will give us a chance to, we had the bill of sale, we had the money identified. If it did get encumbered, then there's no issue. If not, then we have to find a different.
Not like it's going to go anywhere else.
The auditors haven't been here yet.
Just back here.
La.
I think since it's not a rush, it would be nice if we could at least find out a definitive answer on the encumbrance and then figure out if we have a...
Before winter, though, right? That's what we're aiming for?
Well...
Before the everything...
Yeah, it would really need to be done prior to that. And just for my mental sanity, I'd like to put this one to bed.
Nate's legacy.
I think if we do it during the winter, we can put skids under it and just slide it down there.
Right.
So I take it since you've been talking to Tim, this must be a tractor-trailer box?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a 40-foot.
Oh, no, it's a 40-foot container. Like the
20-foot
that's down there.
It's
not a tractor trailer box. It's just a container. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
40-foot container that needs to get up on a bed and
or
on
skis. A loader that's like twice the size of the Iowa department. In theory, they were going to help me get it up to the road because my backhoe doesn't have that, right? What we may still have to do is just I need to meet with them. Everybody that's any good is so busy right now.
Okay, so we'll table this part of it until next meeting.
Yeah. And I think in parallel, we can ask Amanda about a couple of these lines. I mean, she's got a maintenance line.
Yep.
So that we're not taking something that's going to hurt her.
Right.
But, you know, if there's money available, we might as well, if we don't have it encumbered, we might as well try to find it somewhere outside of Nate's very skinny budget.
And so the last thing.
It's getting skinnier.
I'm going to attempt to take a vacation.
That's funny.
November 8th through the 16th.
Disapprove, resubmit 90 days for further disapproval.
So I've been in contact with Trish about this. I've been in contact with Johnny about this. The theory is that I'll be on call for like a very important type of emergency, not a light bulb needs to be changed type thing, but something important, I'd be willing to come in. If it does snow, and it's not a large snowstorm, Johnny will cover the parking lots, and I'll do the transfer station. If we do get a large storm, then I'll come in and do what normally gets done. So I'm not going to leave you guys high and dry, but I am going to try to take the time off.
Okay.
Are you going to
no, you are going to leave us high. You are going to leave us high and dry.
Shoot deer.
Not deep and cold.
So I figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to give you a surprise.
Okay.
The only thing that I might ask, and I don't know how this works, and it's probably a thank you thing, but could the money that comes in that week be held over in the safe till the week after?
So it's really 2 weeks, right?
We can make arrangements maybe to grab it for you if you need to be.
Oh, no, the 8th? Yeah, the 8th, no, the 8th is a Sunday, right. So.
Right, so there would be the 2 days open that would be held over till next Tuesday when I bring the money.
Yeah, that's good.
I need to look at the calendar.
I think if you're comfortable with that, Nate, I don't see why there would be a huge issue with that.
Maybe it's locked. The door's locked and the safe is locked.
Have you had anybody comment about the new rates that are going into effect?
Some people they think it's time, and then there are other people that just don't understand why they pay so much in taxes and then end up paying more for their trash. And I have a spiel that I do tell them about how pricing is going sky high and we're not even really keeping up with it. And some people listen and some people don't. We'll get through it. All they need to do is get used to it for a few months.
Yeah. Okay.
There again, people don't like change.
You
guys all good with me then?
I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'll be on the agenda for 2 weeks then. Okay. Thank you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Always.
Well, maybe what we can do is start switching every other week.
Switch off.
Once a month we get to come in. I can go out
with you. Thanks, Nate.
See you guys.
Okay. Rescue tool replacement.
Yeah, so, as I've been warning you for the last number of months, we are preparing to replace our rescue tools, basically the jaws of life, for lack of a better term. They're not made by the same company, but this was all part of the process and plan for the new engine's arrival. And so we had our demo with the manufacturer this weekend.
Saturday.
See anybody there?
No.
I
saw it on Facebook. So.
Cut up 3 cars. Went very well. All the staff is just in love with the tools. The ease of them, no hoses, no having to make sure the power plant is running, and you know, all just a myriad of different things that put us into the positive category. And so while the distributor, who is IPS, was here doing the demo, I had a conversation because Kevin LaChapelle was there with the service manager who was doing the demo, and said that he could save us about $3,000 to $4,000 on purchasing the tools. And I'm like,
Okay.
Tell me more.
Talk to me, Goose.
And so the city of Concord is buying 3 cents. There's another department, larger department, buying 2 cents. And we can get in on a bulk purchase with IPS ordering all that from Amatro, and the price drops for all three departments. And so I'm like, all right, well, it wasn't in my plan, but the funding is there. Revenue fund continues to be healthy. The last number I had from Karen was in the 214, 215 range, and I still haven't seen September's numbers. We're already 2 weeks into September, and I have submitted, you know, $2,000-$3,000 receipts, because I get them from the ambulance or from the billing company when money comes in, and then I give Karen a copy of it. So I think we're pretty healthy with the ambulance not being replaced for another 5 years. The only other thing that's in the long range plan is to replace car one, which comes out of that fund. And that's planned for this next year, for the next budget season. And that's roughly in the 45 to 55 range, new radios and all that, because we're slowly replacing radios as well. So I think we're healthy enough to do it now. It's not going to affect the revenue numbers at all, and it's going to keep it healthy. We also have the opportunity to put the new tools in service. We would put them in the truck, in the current truck, to run them. And the way this plan is going to work is we have 2 sets. We have the newer of the 2 sets is in our first new engine, which has a cutter, spreader, ram, and then a big, huge power plant, which looks like a portable generator. It's about that size. And so that tool will be moved to engine one, which is our second due that sits at Chapel Station. The current tool that's at Chapel Station is just a small little portable power unit with a set of spreaders and a combi tool. Combi tool is a combination cutter and spreader, but they're very small compared to the larger tools. Those have always been our backup, or if the crew's at Chapel doing truck checks or whatever, and they catch a fire or catch a motor vehicle accident on the interstate, they can roll that engine instead of going all the way back to Central. So anyways, the plan would be to move the current frontline tools into reserve, put those on to the second due engine, and then retire that last set. My hopes would be that we can find, because they don't owe us anything, and we're not going to get a lot of money for them, to maybe find somebody in the Lakes region, a smaller community fire department, that might need a set of tools like that.
A second set.
And maybe donate them to a smaller town, like a Hill or something like that, that might need them. I'm still doing some research, but they'll be put into reserve for the time being. So that's the plan. I was, one of the big things we did the demo was we were really concerned about the battery life. Oh my God. These are 6 amp hour batteries, and we cut up 3 cars. We had the cutter, the spreader, and the ram all running, and we used 3 batteries. And each tool comes with a spare battery, so we get 6 batteries with the whole setup. And we cut up 3 cars. We very rarely ever cut up 3 cars unless there's multiple stuff.
You'll have help if that goes.
Right. I don't have the staff to cut up 3 cars on a motor vehicle accident.
Yeah.
And so we were very impressed with the battery life, very impressed with the setup. The new engine actually will be wired so that rear compartment where all the tools will be. The battery chargers mount on a wall, and they have pigtails that go from one charger to the next, and then the chargers, so there's a battery in the charger constantly charging when the truck is in on shore power, and then there's a plug that goes to the tools, so the tools are actually charged while they're sitting in their brackets in the truck. Now, they're not run off the truck, so they're only charging when the truck is hooked to shore power, but batteries will probably last us forever.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to drive 8 hours or 10 hours to a to a, oh, a vehicle accident or a fire or something.
And these are the new lithium ion, so yeah. They don't draw down. The charger goes to a trickle charge. You know, it's not like the ones you've heard horror stories about, so, you know, catching fire and all of that. This is a new generation battery. So as long as they're sitting in the charger, they don't lose any juice. So long story short, I'm asking that the Board of Selectmen approve the purchase of the tools. I've included a memorandum for you to, with some explanation, as well as the sales quote from IPS. The other thing is I'm requesting a sole source request on this, because IPS is the New Hampshire distributor for Amatro. So we can't buy them from anybody else. Amatro won't let us if they're coming into New Hampshire. Amatro has been our, you know, I've used Amatro for 25 years. They've been, service has been good with IPS from that. The tools are very, very user-friendly. The maintenance on them is very good. So I would suggest that we stay with IPS and stay with Amatro.
They're fast response for maintenance.
Well, yeah, since my sales rep just lives over the hill, retired Chief LaChapelle out of Franklin, and I've got his, you know, cell phone on speed dial, so I call him.
I know where you live.
And the nice thing with IPS, I've had experience with this. When I was in Bell's Falls, I broke a tool. Cutting something I shouldn't have cut with the cutters. Yeah, it was a $900 mistake, and I heard about it from my chief for quite some time. IPS had just taken over Amatro. This was probably 15 years ago. And that afternoon, I had a replacement tool in my fire truck, and my tool went back to their shop to get repaired, and they brought me a tool so the truck wouldn't be out of service. That's the kind of service we get out of IPS.
Okay. With that being said, I make the motion that we approve the purchase of the Amatro
Pention
rescue tools and associated equipment and award the bid to Industrial Protection Services, LLC, IPS, in the amount of $41,612. The purchase to be funded from the Emergency Medical Services Fire and Rescue Apparatus and Equipment Special Revenue Fund, and that the purchasing policy be waived due to the sole source nature of this equipment.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any discussion of the motion or any comments? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. The purchase is approved.
He better stick around.
Did you hear my phone going off earlier?
Yeah.
No.
That's the communication issues with the fire alarm system. I lost communication again.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you. Right in.
Right. Exactly.
Put on your alarm hat.
Yeah. Moving on to Capital Alarm?
Yeah. So we've had issues in this building with the alarm system currently. It's not communicating if there's a fault with the alarm company, right? Ever since the phone's got knocked off, it's not communicating.
Since the power
is consolidated communication, we've had a horrible time, I'd say, for at least the last year.
Yeah.
Where it's constant, I'm getting either phone calls or emails saying that there's lost communication. So when the phone lines drop off and the alarm system, because the alarm system will ring into Central Alarm, which is a monitoring company, and it'll do a test, basically, so the communication is good. Well, the minute that test fails, then I'll get damn phone calls, and, you know, it creates problems. And after so many tests, panel, particularly for the fire alarm system, locks up next door and goes into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do a reboot of the system to take the memory out of it, or it could continue to remember. And so into the whole concept of, you know, with this whole phone system, is there some other way to deal with it? I know Trish has been dealing with
just the phone system.
Yeah. Right.
I forgot what I was going to say. You go ahead.
So the other issue that arose when...
Oh, this would get rid of... Right. But this... Because this is like in two parts. So this first one, the cellular communicator installation, would replace the consolidated line that we have to use. And the Atlantic Broadband team is confident that they can make sure that the chief doesn't lose his POTS line,
right,
and that the buildings will be secure with what we have now currently.
So here's the way fire alarm systems work. All under the fire alarm code, all fire alarm systems require redundancy on the call out to central alarm. So most of the time you have either two phone lines, or you have a cellular line and a hard line. Right now, we have a designated line, which is one of our fax lines, that is part of our redundancy, because the fire alarm panel next door also covers this building as well. They're all on one panel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that consolidated communication line fails, which is our primary, because cellular can't be used as primary, but it can be used as a backup, that's where we're getting the problems. Now, pretty confident that we can get rid of that phone line as far as the fire alarm system, hook it to our POTS line, which everybody knows where a POTS line is, right? Plain old
telephone system.
It's a wire going in, wire going out, and that's it. No games. And so when a POTS line, if you have a break in a POTS line, the system actually reverses direction and goes the opposite direction. It's like fire alarm, 100 milliamp fire alarm system. And so those tend to be more reliable. You never lose them. And so they're pretty confident that we can switch that phone over to our POTS line as our primary, keep the cellular. That resolves the fire alarm system. Trish is having problems with the burglar alarm. And so there is no code for burglar alarm. You don't need a redundancy for a burglar alarm.
So they
can do and install a cellular device on the burglar alarm system in here, which will resolve those issues as far as the burglar alarm not calling out and being reliable.
Correct.
That's the first one that you see in your packet.
Yeah, the cellular
communication.
Now, is this an additional monitoring charge, or is this the same one that we're already paying?
No, so the monitoring charge for the burglar port will go up a little bit because cellular versus non-cellular, because there's not a cellular on the burglar alarm now. That monitoring will go up. The other one, I'm not sure if you're looking at it, is the one for maybe the old town.
No, right now I'm just looking at it. So it's got $450 for the installation of the cell repeater.
So
and then
I don't believe
annual monitoring, $360.
Yeah, that's basically what we're paying now, except for the cell is $400 normal. It's 260 or something.
360. And then we're whittling down all of our outside sort of, I think they'll help get rid of some of those old consolidated phone numbers. So mm-hmm. We're not carrying a whole bunch of different invoices from different vendors.
Yeah, because it gets confusing. Very confusing.
Yep.
So that's the first one.
So the question I had,
I saw your email. I apologize. I didn't see it until just right now.
Where do we pay this from?
I don't have my book.
That's a Trish thing.
Yeah. And I'll turn towards the...
I think the big thing, and Trish and I briefly talked, really is going to be based on how healthy is the building maintenance capital reserve.
It's $117,000.
We're putting off the roof another year.
But that's something that we could also have.
Well, it would do it in the spring, so it'll still fall under this FY. But
that's one of those things that we could work with the trustees on, too.
Hold on.
That's just the cellular device. The ongoing costs would have to come out of operating budget.
Yeah, and that $450 is not... break anybody's bank, but
repairs and maintenance and stuff.
Now the installation of So that, when we get to the next one, that's a...
Right, that's one, that one's a little more tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, there's plenty of money there for that. But it's where are we covering the, where are we carrying the operating cost of the system, the annual maintenance and monitoring?
Isn't there a line for the maintenance, just in the operating? Or is that all from out of?
Is it professional services?
Well, we have a general government building.
Right.
Right.
But within those lines, the only one that seems to fit would be professional services. Equipment maintenance and repair. Because it's $360 per line, right?
No.
For maintenance, for monitoring?
I feel like it's just, that's just the price.
Well, yeah, we're already paying the monitoring for that now. So that's not going to change. We're already paying the monitoring.
But is that a...
This is just changing to adding to a cellular device. So it's not going to add the monitoring cost.
I got it. But is the monitoring per...
Per building.
Right. And that's my point. So I don't know if there's a...
Do we need... You want more clarification? Is that
well, we just need to figure out where we're going to take the money out of. Again, it is two parts. There's the device. Okay, I mean repairs and maintenance can cover that. It's we need
the monitoring.
And yeah, it's a timely discussion since we're putting the budget together to make sure that we've got the right amount. So it looks like we're going up now to 720 and 360 for these buildings, and then up on the hill when we add, now that we're going to get that monitor. So we need to make sure those are all accounted for.
And those are just the monitoring costs. You have the same monitor, 360, right?
Mm-hmm.
360 for the monitoring, yeah.
Because when I spoke to John about the other conversation, that he was okay with carrying the number that they had done for us. Was it a year now?
2 years ago.
2 years. Keeping the same monitoring cost as what we had been paying.
Yeah, so that's, and it's a little different because they roll that into the total price for the old town hall.
Right. Yeah, because the monitoring is based on buildings.
Okay.
And so, because this is one system, we only pay for one.
Right. This is listed as 565 and 573. Right. So that's what I'm saying. So in the budget for 22, we need to make sure we've got a line where we're planning $720 a year in alarm monitoring.
Well, more than that, because we've got the highway directors on that thing. They're on the contract, too.
Yeah, and the library. But
the library is
not. The library is their own.
Right? Yeah. So really it's the three buildings, four buildings, three systems.
1440.
So.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's, right? It's maintenance, really.
Monitoring.
Maintain the building. There's an issue.
Maintain communication.
My sanity if I can stop you.
Maintain communication.
Yeah.
So, looks like all their...
Your sanity comes out of a different line.
Yeah.
And that was at zero, so don't...
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is.
You only got 2 months on this year's budget, right?
Yeah.
Because that's August. So what's that in the expenditure report?
For maintenance?
Oh, just maintenance. You said possibly professional services.
Yeah. I don't know what that...
Repairs and maintenance has $29,000 in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Big stuff comes out of the calendar. Well, that covers the flammable vent next door, covers the overhead door costs for maintenance annually. So,
yeah, they did. So it looks like all they're asking for in this contract for these buildings is just the $450. For the new cellular device.
Correct.
Which basically this means we just signed a new contract.
And then the monitoring carries over. So I'll make a motion that we approve the proposal from Capital Alarm Systems for $450 to install a cellular communicator for the town office and life safety building.
Sure, that's $450, I thought. $850 for the cellular device.
$450 for the device. Monitoring was $360.
They're just saying.
They're saying they want $450.
They want $450. $200 deposit and F30. $42.
Yep.
Yeah, you all listed commercial grade cellular communicator $850.
Now, that's a special Paul Dexter price. We're going to get
you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Sean's tired of hearing from me on weekends.
All right.
Is there a difference between UL listed commercial grade? That
it's
must
like
be the difference.
It's the same. UL listed commercial grade.
Right, but this one's just the cellular communicator. It's not commercial grade.
Oh, well, so that may, yeah, because UL listed is required for UL listed commercial grade cellular communicator.
Yeah, I know.
But that says 850.
This is yours.
Oh, I get you. The other one says something with the Zims. Just, oh, okay, 4G. So it may be. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe totally.
With funds to come from line 4194.430, other general government buildings, repair and maintenance. There.
All right. Are you guys fine with me signing that?
I'll second the motion. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Who signs this?
You can or I can.
Highlighted on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know about the other two highlighters.
Yeah. Now, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, I take. This
before, no, not about why it didn't happen, but I'm really confused between the two quote pages I've got here from Capital for Old Town Hall.
So one's an upgrade and one's a takeover.
Yeah, so if we look at one, the one that's for $1,700, that was, I asked John to give me somewhat of a realistic number because he's not really sure what he's going to find. No different than what he found with the library,
right,
which was a disaster when he tried to take over that system. Remember, we did this one, and then he took over that one. And I said, you need to be realistic with me because I don't want them losing money, and I don't want a mess like we had with the library. So that's why on that proposal he wrote, this is a system hip. This is a system we can reprogram if we have not been locked out. So that's what happened the last time with the library. Old monitoring company had locked them out. So I'm just fearful of spending $1,700 now to put in the budget of $7,200 next year minus the $850 for the, because you'll minus the $850.
But we're not...
For the communicator.
They're not looking to do the $7,510 now?
Or $75, yeah. So, well, this was the thing. So the $1,700 is just to take over the existing system and get monitoring on it.
All right.
The $7,510 is to replace the system, take over monitoring, and put in the cellular device.
And to know that they can do it.
Fixing everything that's there. Now, this is a much smaller system, less complex because there's not a lot of devices. Okay.
So you just explained my confusion because I'm looking at two bills that are look like, you know, subsets of the same work, and now you've explained that they are.
Yeah. The panel, the way John explained it to me, the panel, just like we had the panel at the library, is an older panel we can't get parts for any longer. No, so if something fails, whether or not we bite the bullet and do it now. And my conversation with Trish was, again, how healthy is the capital reserve? Is it something we can pull off? I would recommend that we pull it off. The other thing, John, we'll get rid of that damn pull station in the bathroom.
Right.
And put it somewhere where it's supposed to be, and also replace the pull station that's by the keypad. Because if you notice, if you've been in the bathroom, that's an old, we have to use a Allen wrench to reset the pull station. Those will be replaced with key devices.
So it's either or. Right.
Correct.
So if we don't want to do the full thing now, it'd be $1,700 for them to take over monitoring, install the cellular device.
Correct.
And
is that with no guarantee that it will actually?
And that's assuming they can get in and program the panel.
Yeah.
Or for $7,500, they'll replace the panel, put in the whole new system.
And everything will be the same in town.
Got it.
Right.
All the way from the.
I feel much better.
Throughout.
I'm trying because I'm looking at the second one going, wait a minute, it's all covered in the one above. Why are we? Mm-hmm. All right. So, Town Facilities Repair and Refurbishment Capital Reserve Fund has $127,000 in it. So I would be in favor of getting the old town. I mean, it's probably our most vulnerable building in terms of construction and material.
Yeah, right.
So I would be in favor of getting it protected properly as soon as we could.
When did he turn on time? Did he give you any sort of...
He said,
backed up?
He isn't so much backed up, but he said, because he's doing a lot of stuff now himself, and he lives over on Hermit Lake Road, or Hermit Lake, he lives off on Cuba Drive. He may work on it on a Saturday. So my crew can let him in if we have to, but... yeah, so his turnaround is not great, but it's not crazy. Because he understands there's no monitoring on that now.
We're talking, in the next
couple
weeks.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, but
right, a couple weeks.
Next month or so.
Depending on how many times I drive by his house and honk.
So it'd be done probably by the end of October.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good bet.
Right. I'd say we go for the full boat.
So I'll make a motion. We accept the quote from Capital Alarm System for the fire alarm system upgrade to Old Town Hall in the amount of $7,510, funds to come from the Town Facilities Repair and Refurbishment Capital Reserve Fund, line 4915.110.
I'll second that. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. We will go with the new. You can tell John.
Copy of that one, right?
Yep.
We're still going to have them wire it directly to your house. So every time.
You're taking three phone calls in the last hour and a half.
Is this one of the things we were talking about before? We can ask the trustees directly for a check to pay for this. So, we were talking about before, we usually have been waiting for the end of the year.
Yeah, there's no reason to.
So if we have it in the minutes and such, there's no reason that they can
transfer the money now.
Yep.
It's like we do with the ambulance fund. When
way to do it.
I agree. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that last year with Peggy, that it got crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot at the end trying to keep track. keeping track of everything that we've agreed to expend, and then.
Yep.
Oh, look, and the next page on our agenda is Ray Massey again.
Yeah.
What?
Well, because he took them out of order.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the appointment. Okay, so we've gone with our next item of business. Are you through?
Maybe you're all set with me.
I think we are. Yeah, we're through with you.
$1,000 is all earned from the gamble.
Yeah, we're through with you. Money wise and sanity wise, we're through with you.
You're getting going.
Go answer your phone calls.
On your home Monday. Decorating project.
They start, I hope, I'm praying. I haven't heard back from the grant yet on that end because I want to try to keep it all kind of together, corralled. So, matter of fact, today got crazy, out of control on me. So tomorrow I'm going to reach out to my contact in emergency management, see how that grant process is coming, because the amount of money, it has to go to governor and council for their approval. It's not something emergency management can sign off on because of the amount.
Yeah.
So it just takes a little bit longer to get it through. But, yeah, we're pretty excited about that moving forward.
All right. Stop breaking people, too, will you?
Yeah, no kidding.
He's using it as an excuse to get out of building committee now.
That didn't happen at work. I can't be responsible for that.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, next item on our agenda is the winter sand bid.
Johnny wanted your approval to advertise for the winter sand bid to have them do in early October, with you guys awarding the bid, and at the next meeting, I think he said in the October 14th meeting.
Yeah, so I talked to him today about something else, and he asked if he needed to be here, and I didn't think he needed to come in just to tell us. It's the same format, the same bid he's been using for the last 3 years, so he just wanted to get the okay to put it back out and get those bids in so we can get locked in for the winter.
Yep.
Yep, that's okay. I don't think we need a motion for that. Just let him go.
All right.
Okay, old business. Any old business?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we could not go have a letter drafted. Jimmy drafted a letter.
The Woodman Road complaint?
Riley.
The formally answer correspondence and the follow-up email.
For you guys. I did talk to take one down and pass it around.
99 letters or less? No.
I did talk to Mike Capsalis about we talked about he was going to ask the homeowners if they could potentially consider getting their land surveyed to see, like, to see where, what's in current use and what's not, because the shed might have to be moved if it's not in the right spot, and so he was looking to see if they would be willing to do that as an extra step to sort of...
there should be a map when they apply for current use. Indicating exactly what was in current use.
It's like
which looks like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
we've
got the current use application, and it's not at the level of detail. It wasn't a surveyed drawing. It was somebody like literally went into the plot and drew a box and said, "Here's the 1.5 acres, not in current use." And so it, I'm not even sure if they surveyed it, we'd have anything to compare to show, what should be and what shouldn't be. You're right. It should have been, an actual survey that said, here's the land that's being left out. But that's not what got approved that's not what's attached, at least to the application.
Correct.
Planning board hearing at some point in the past on the property?
I imagine. I don't know.
Subdivided. That was never brought up to the planning board.
Pardon me?
It was never brought up to the planning board. not in the past 2 years.
I don't know that you do that for current current and non-current use.
No. Planning board doesn't have anything to do with
that. Was that land subdivided at some point prior to the current home zoning? Did the planning board do a subdivision up there?
Yeah, if it was, it was done. If it was done, it was done before 2 years ago.
So you can go back and look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go back to the records and look and see.
Steve can go back and look at that.
Yeah. Right, but the current use was put in by the current owners. So it wasn't in current use when they bought it.
Was the application faulty?
I don't think that it was faulty. I think it was they did what was required or asked of them at the time, but I don't know if that it's not specific and detailed.
Well, I read the stuff, and I thought that the woman who filed the complaint, she may be right or wrong, I don't know, but I thought she did an exceptional job putting in writing her concern.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she did a really good job of that. And in reading it, I don't know why they can't get together and reach an agreement on the issue she raised.
Yeah. And
the other question I had is that there's no building permit for what he built near her house, which there should be. Should have been.
Not for an agricultural structure like that.
I don't know.
That's zoning already went out and checked it.
Well, I guess my question is there any way that the situation would be ameliorated with some discussion with them? Well, John, you went out there, so do you have an opinion?
To me, the building that I saw that they were using for animal husbandry was set so far back from the road that, they could have put it further back on the other side of their property, but it was set back probably, I'd say, 50, 60 yards off the road. And the lady whose house it was who was making the complaint, her house sets probably 25 or 30 yards off the road. So you probably got close to 100 yards between her porch and where the animal husbandry stuff is.
Yeah. And, as a result of this situation, the homeowners have gotten rid of the roosters. They've gotten rid of the guinea fowl to try to help, reduce some of the noise. I think they've been tried to be, cooperative and reach a solution. But, for example, one of the suggestions that was made in the complaint was, can't they put the goat shed on the other side of the property? Well, that would definitely take it out of the, it would definitely put it into the current use area. So they can't do that. It's only an acre and a half, with the house on it. So they're kind of limited in the options they have for putting the animals somewhere. No, I agree with you. I think it comes, well, so this letter, it was just to address, to make sure they understood that we've received all your complaints. Every one of them has been investigated. So far, no violations have been found. So at that point, there's nothing that the town can do. And then it, addresses her concerns about trying to get a noise ordinance and get a zoning change and how the right way to go about doing that.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is it's something they're going to have to work out together if they can.
Well, I think as far as the change to the current zoning ordinances, and I don't think that's realistic on her part.
Oh, I agree, but at least, we tell her what the process is if she wants to go through with it.
Yep.
Who she needs to go see. I mean, it's, bottom line is it's not something that we're going to do.
No.
All
So, because the land's in current use, they can't move that.
Not to where she recommended. She suggested, can't they put it on the other, basically the opposite corner of from where the house is now, and that's in the current use section. So that would
force them to take some of the property out of current use.
Yeah.
Well, they have 10 acres.
Well, it's 10 acres. It was like 11 and a half property. They took an acre and a half out. So if they take any more out, they lose current use totally and have to pay the land use change tax. So. So this was, you know, my suggestion, just to reply to her and let her know that, yes, we've heard her complaint. It's been investigated. You know, we understand her situation, but there's no violation that can be acted on. And like I said, I know that...
No grounds for us to take action.
Yeah. And I know the property owners, you know, the homestead have been trying as best they can. I think they were trying to do some other improvements around the goats to try to keep them separated. But the bottom line is agricultural land. I mean, you drive down the road and you know you're in farm country.
Especially if you've got your windows down.
Yeah.
So are they in active discussions to try to reach a compromise?
I haven't heard anything since last week, so I don't know what's happened since then. The feedback I got is that the attempts by the homeowners to talk to the complainant haven't been met very well. She's not willing to talk.
Well, in reading her complaint, the whole thing, there was a lot of communication between both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Texting back and forth, and Maxwell's wife bringing over
She brought over something that, you know, they had, one of the goats got out and did eat a plant, and they offered to replace it. She didn't want the replacement, but they brought a gift. You know, to try to...
So there's been some communication between the parties.
I think there's been some give. I don't think there's been a lot of take. And whatever we want to send, but I think we need to send her a formal response, you know.
I think what we've got here is good, and then just hopefully we'll wait and see what we get back from it, and then go on from there.
Yeah.
Hopefully the two families will try and continue to resolve the situation.
Well, I guess if you want to send a letter, I guess that's fine, but is it agreeable? I'll throw this out there. Is it agreeable to put in the letter that we hope that both parties would work together to resolve?
I think that's in the letter.
It's the last sentence, last page is just a little ran over.
I just hate to see that stuff happen.
I know.
Yeah. And we're limited as to how much we can do other than broker a relationship, better relationship between the two families.
Would it be, I'll just throw this out there, you probably won't agree to it, but would it be helpful? I don't know if Steve would be the right person to do it, but it would be helpful to offer someone to go out there in the town and meet with both parties and sit down and see if they can reach a consensus on a solution. After that,
I'd be worried about the liability coming out of that.
They would be reaching an agreement, not us.
Yeah, they would be, but for us to try and broker the agreement, could be there could be some liability on on the town's part as far as what he said, she said.
Then you're going to be doing it for everybody.
Yeah.
Neighborhood dispute.
Okay. All right.
Right, so
I put it on a letterhead and I'll put it out for you guys to sign. Or you want me to sign it for you or whatever. All right. I can do that.
Any more old business? You've had enough with that.
Actually,
huh?
I do have a one. So, Mr. Oh, golly. He's going to excuse me now. Rath.
Oh, Deb.
He did fill out, because we had asked him to, a open air permit. However, it didn't really go anywhere because in the interim, he changed the location. So it's going to be at somebody's home.
But,
it's not going to be at a...
Yeah,
but the open air permit is... just based on the number of people. It doesn't matter where they're...
All right.
Yeah, and the Forestry Service...
shut them down.
Wouldn't let him have more than 15 people at the gathering, so...
So I do have this for you. I did think it would be appropriate for the police just to take a peek and stuff just to make sure that there's nothing, but he did fill it out for you guys.
I don't know if you were on the board selecting at the time, the previous board, because there was a picture and article in the paper and so on, when this happened, that bridge was dedicated.
I was on the board. I was on the board when we gave him permission for that.
I just thought it was kind of odd to single out Carmen and ignore Fuji, who's also a veteran.
Carmen died, so that's the only, it's just a memorial. That was just the place to do the memorial service.
Now they're going to do it in his backyard.
Yeah.
You're going to recognize one you should recognize.
Well, and Donna's may be attending. They weren't sure. So.
Yeah. Don Fudiak, I think, is...
That's
the team. Oh. Don Fudiak, I think, is still in the nursing home up there.
Yeah.
Okay, for what?
They invited him to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's still in the nursing home up in Laconia. So.
Yeah, he's up that way.
So I think they invited him. I don't know if anybody's going up to pick him up and bring him down to it.
Well, this is probably not for anything. But if you look at the request we get from veterans for the exemption, kind of interesting. I enjoy reading them, what they put on the form. If you look at the experience and some of the things that they have done,
yeah,
fascinating.
These two guys in particular.
Okay.
Should do something with this?
Yeah.
Open air permit. But it's,
keep it for
the fire chief needs to sign it. Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't think we actually have a place to just
we don't sign this.
Tell the police, fire.
No.
Police and fire. Police and the town planner are supposed to sign it.
Oh, he's good on it.
Yeah.
I'll follow up with.
I think the big thing is to just make sure they've got some.
And he needs calling those
police coverage because they'll have a lot of people parking, I'm sure.
Yeah. Parking along.
The good news is it's further down Blackbrook, so it's less of a speedway when you get down there than
it
is.
And a lot of the people that are going to be attending this are neighbors and stuff, and they'll be walking to it. But there'll still be quite a line of people Saturday morning there. Okay. Okay. And you're up.
Oh, all right. I'll go now.
Town administrator's report.
So, Atlantic Broadband has been here working very diligently. We're still not quite right. The programming of everything, that one's correct now. I think it's really at this point, it's me, my phone, and the town clerk's phone. They're the ones that are still a little bit wonky, but we'll get there.
Julie's voicemail when it gets fixed?
From.
I had asked here several times about changing her voicemail because the old voicemail has the old town clerk on it.
Oh, it's Marla.
When I asked, I was told nobody here knows how to do it.
But
that needs to be changed.
It is changed, yeah.
Okay.
It is
Who changed it? You did?
Well, yeah, the whole new system changed it. But.
How come nobody knew how to change it to begin with?
I don't know. I knew how to change mine.
I mean, everybody's got all kinds of crap in their laps and stuff like that, and you don't know how to change it.
I think sometimes.
Give me a break.
Right.
I could probably do it. Pull a plug up.
Well, why didn't you?
Pull a plug up.
He's our resident Luddite. He can.
I changed mine from the previous person. So it is able to be done. It was able to be done, but now has been done for everybody across the board. So when you call in, if you call into the 286 number, you'll hear my voice. You can.
I gotta give you a computer geek for a little hard time.
Okay. I'm not a computer geek. You can hear the town office hours, town clerk's hours. You can get to any one of us by. With the auto attendant, and it's very intuitive. We can change things, and the next step is to get the mobility seats taken care of for some of the department heads and stuff.
Good.
And I can get rid of more phones.
Cell phones, yeah.
Jim could probably do it with a license plate on your vehicle. It says geeks.
I'm
going to
take that
out of
the question.
I can get that 33% back that you took?
Yeah.
He's taken away he's taken 33% of my pay.
What?
This is a joke.
But he filled out the template. He gave
a pay cut. He's giving it back to you in candy.
Yeah, that's right.
Fireballs.
And
work. Yeah. Now he remembers that he's got them there.
She didn't ask for it yet.
Okay. Anything more?
Yeah. So I received this correspondence, I think, this past week. If the town would like to sell any auction off any old things that we have, like vehicles, I'm not sure if we have anything that we would be looking to sell. And I'm not sure if you guys received the information on the new rate. For the retirement system, you got those.
Well, only what rate? Well, at that point, it had been proposed, not approved.
Yeah.
As proposed. I suppose you don't know that.
Right. I don't know what the proposal was.
I just grab a copy.
Yeah. You want one right now?
I can do it.
Yeah, I don't.
You can send stuff to White Farm if you want to have the state help.
Okay.
or trade it in and get a better.
We are able to. I was told from the Atlantic Broadband people that the phones that we do we are phasing out likely have value to some other people who can't get parts and stuff like that. So it's like he was like, well, you can put it on eBay and this and the other, and I'm like, all right, that sounds like a fun job for somebody. I'll get right on that.
Send that stuff to the White Farm in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, you've got plenty of time,
we
right?
We could, but is it the White Farm we don't get as much money for? Is that how it works?
I don't know.
It's a trade-off between how much money we're going to get and how much work it's going to take.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So if there's an easy way to send it off, get something back, that's better than it sitting in a pile and nothing happening with it. Yeah, you're right. We don't have time to go on and do a whole bunch of listings on...
What's up? One where you take a picture of it and put it on the selling.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Roadhouse is going to sell things.
Yeah, I think going through the state's probably the easiest and safest way to do it.
Yeah, because they have an auction twice a year. They sell all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can inquire. I need you guys to sign some things for me for the sale of that property. I have it all ready to go. I have all of the checks. I have everything from the attorneys so that I can get it over to the DRA and to the Registry of Deeds. And so Mr. Rasmussen will be the new property owner of 33 Miss Rose. So here are some Department of Revenue forms I'll need you to fill out. Real estate transfer tax declaration, the inventory of property transfer.
Do we have to fill it out or just sign them?
Just sign it. The lawyers did it all. The quitclaim deed. We have to have it notarized. And then...
Call Julie.
Yeah. And then another real estate tax. Justin's already been in to sign all of these, or to sign what he needed to sign, so I just need you guys to... the quick claim deed that I'll need you to sign. I don't know if Julie is able to witness. I can ask her. And then the next one is the DRA, the declaration of the sale.
Yeah, this need to be notarized.
It will leave you the
and with that, I can run get a glass of water.
Maybe not run all water.
No running involved.
My fall.
Are you working remotely, or are you going in, or?
I'm going every day.
Anybody else in there?
What?
Well, for a long time, I was the only one going in.
Going in where?
They're all working from home. And my job is very different. I do a lot of traveling to visit people and stuff like that, which has been really difficult because it's kind of eerie some of the places. You know.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Hey, Julie.
Hi. 335 absentee ballots.
And climbing?
How many?
335. 335? And then there's
Yubikavas and all that, too. So.
Would we have that?
No, no.
Just to put this, the date in?
They haven't been printed yet. I sent FUWALT today, which are people who are Yubikavas, but don't know when they're going to return.
16th day of September.
I'll be here Saturday.
I can print it in there if you want me to.
Okay. The Yubikava deadline.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's just when you should get them out.
Yeah.
I'll do. Oh, I'll do. It's okay. Okay, what you need?
should notarize the selectman's signature for the transfer deed for
property we sold.
Oh, good.
You get the three notary places on there for you. Stamp, stamp, stamp.
Oh. You can't just do one for all three signatures. You have to do one for each signature.
Yeah.
Ray, how long did it take you to make that video?
Times two, because he did it. He redid it because he wasn't happy with it the first time. I thought it was fine.
All right.
Well, Ray, you achieved it. An unusual thing. You made Paul Dexter happy, so.
You signed here. The next page is Tom's signature.
Yeah, when I saw that in the minutes, I said, what's Paul going to hit him up on now? Budget committee number.
Wait.
Yeah, I know.
Tom.
I'm going to just.
Oh, okay.
Paul, you peel back the onion.
Take pity on him, huh?
Fill in the
date. He'd be nice to him.
Right there.
Yeah.
In this pocket.
To push back to Trish.
Yeah. So when I'm here Saturday, I'm going to work on my budget.
Yay!
This doesn't need to be.
It's interesting.
I don't think so.
That's it?
I believe so.
That's it
doesn't look like there's any place to know what it's on here. So.
There's witnesses.
Oh, witnesses. Do you want to witness it?
I can if you want, or Trish
can. Trish can do that.
She doesn't have anything to do.
She can do it.
She's got plenty of time.
Okay.
Are you getting powder, white powder in there to go from one end to the other?
Yeah. Okay. So, while Julie's here real quick, we have our due date, right?
Yeah, October 22nd, unfortunately.
Not by any...
Well, I mean, always learn lessons. You learn things all the time. But with the state holding off deeding, he got backed up, and I didn't email him. I did a voice call, so I will, from now on, do everything in writing.
So she had everything.
Yeah, no, it was all.
Ready to go, yes.
Yep, now this was.
Now I just got to get ready for the audit.
And my budget.
You want to come over tomorrow?
It's a Saturday night with a pitcher of margaritas.
Yeah, it'll be a wonderful budget for everybody.
All right.
Thanks, Jill. Well, I should have done it when she was here. I just want to go on record and say I think she and Tim did a fabulous job with Election Day.
Yes.
I mean, it was smooth. Everybody knew what they were doing. Everybody cooperated. Granted, it's not, it's half or less of the volume we're going to see on November,
yeah.
But they did a really good job laying it all out. A lot of thought went into it.
Compared to past elections, there was hardly anybody had any complaints about what was going on.
Yep, it went really well.
So
I think they're working on what they're fixing to do for November. Right?
The outside, it's really, well, so I know Tim has talked about looking into using the school just because of the volume.
I think that would be much better.
But, that requires the school board to agree.
It would have to be in and out on that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then you would agree.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know that it would be a problem, but it's just something we have to, he'd have to ask him. Because it is, it's a lot, you know, to set it up and then get it done
yeah.
and take down after so that they can have school the next day. But in terms of room to have people lined up, cause, you know, we did have people backed out the door,
yeah.
but it was only, you know, it only took 6 or 8 people and you were already backed up. So in there, you'd have the hallway, you could, you know, put marks and spread
people
out.
We're going to be a lot of absentee ballots.
Which
that's what she just said. It's over 300 now. But we had 927 ballots on Tuesday, which is a lot for, about 200 of those were
mail. Not the Samaritan, because Samaritan historically, if you go back and look, compared to other towns in the area, he's always had exceptional turnout,
yeah.
whether it's the primary or general election,
yeah.
Town, even the town elections, good turnout.
Yeah. I think Tim said this was a record.
Yeah.
So,
the primary.
And
yeah.
we know that the
that surprised me. But
federal will be a lot. I mean, that's going to be a record, too. So, but.
So segueing into that, I did apply for the first round of the CARES money for the absentee ballots. That was due, the day after the election. It was due the 14th, I'm sorry. So we'll be getting, for the first round of that, $2,643.53 back.
Wow. Did they establish the rate?
Yeah. It was based upon how many.
I know. They were going to set a value per ballot.
They did. And it all, you can look at this. It all populated when I plugged in all the numbers. So that's that. And then with Jim's help and Peg's help, we did submit for our $70,000 in Gopher relief money yesterday. All of it.
Good.
No. I haven't heard back yet. I'm sure they're very busy.
Yeah, so we ended up only putting in, because they made the change to allow first responder salary to count as a COVID expense,
yes.
we only had to put in 1/4 of the police department salary, and it covered the whole $70,000 allocation that we had. So, yeah, so $4.39.
Yeah. Oh, there it is, right down there.
For the CARES Act stuff, they're paying us a standard rate for all the ballots that we send out, and then a standard rate for all the ballots that we receive and actually process. So that's.
Is that the state?
This was for the primary.
And you paid the bill, right?
No, this is federal. It's CARES Act money. And then we'll do the same thing again.
November.
Yeah, in November, it'll be interesting. The ballots will be up, but the number of ballots from last time will be lower. I mean, higher than this was. So we'll see how it turns out. But, hey, you know what? $2,600 is $2,600.
Up to 8,000, I think that was what we
were. 10,000 was our total allocation, so we can get up to 8,000 more.
10,000, but the 20 that we've it's only 80% of that 10,000.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then it has all of what we did for the previous year,
right,
like absentee ballots and all that for the primaries, and then for the last election.
Yeah.
Keep that all together.
Can't call it free money because our taxes are paying for it, but
next generation can pay deal with deficit.
Just a couple more things here. I did. We had talked at the budget committee meeting that I had gone to about pooling some of the other managers about how they do merit pools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some responses for you guys. I should have printed it out. But And I can send it to you if you want to. Big brother over there.
Always watching. Yeah, that'd be a good reference, because...
Yeah, because, you know, all of the towns responded to them differently.
Oh, good. So that'll be good. The other thing that came up at the last budget joint meeting was the question about holiday pay.
Okay.
And we asked, four department heads. We got five different answers about what the holiday pay line is for and how it gets used.
Yeah.
So I think we need kind of the ground truth from Peg. And whatever it is, we just need to make sure we're doing it consistently.
We need to put the word out
across all the departments, because some people are paying it. I don't know. If every of the four departments, all four were doing it different ways.
Yeah, put a memo out with a definition and use.
So however she processes holiday pay is what we need. And it may not be coming out of a separate line. I don't know. You heard Nate tonight say, in a year he's never taken money out of his holiday pay line. So
he hasn't.
Well.
But.
Well, again, that's why we need to understand how Peg processes it and what money needs to be in a holiday pay line versus what's already covered.
What's your criteria? Because
there's differences between, say, police department,
yes,
where there's a holiday, but they have to work anyway,
right,
versus
people who don't work on
office staff that get the day off,
yeah,
but still get paid.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a whole, probably doesn't come out of a separate line, because that's already factored in. When you do the salary calculation, you do 40 hours a week times 52 weeks, and that ought to cover holidays for people who don't have to work.
Some other, highway department, if it's a holiday and it's good weather, they get the day off.
Right, if it's
but
a holiday,
if it's
and,
a holiday
snowing.
And there's a snowstorm, they're working.
Yep.
So.
That was our kind of aha out of last week's meeting.
Take your time. We've got 12 hours.
12 hours. Oh, you can get it to that afterwards. We're not gonna.
All right.
We're not gonna sit and read them right now, anyway. So.
I'll get it to you then. That works. So. I have two other things. Well, one thing, and then I need to just run into non-public real quick. So, the New Hampshire Municipal Association sent this. They are interested in the town of Samberton's opinion on some of the legislative policy updates. And so, I know. So, I didn't know how that was dealt with previously. If the town sent a representative, or if you just sort of let it go, or
is this for the session they're having coming up?
Yep, on the 2nd. So I printed the email, and then because we have to register one person if you want to go.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever sent anybody.
Okay. Some of the things, I can send you the email if you want. So you can go on to the NHMA website and look at some of the policy updates that they're looking to do. There's obviously some like land use ones and taxes ones and just general government. There's one about not having to post things in the newspaper anymore, just use it electronically, and all of these different bills going on. So this is the email if you want to take one, and I can forward it to you guys.
I already deleted it.
Oh, you're good. Right on. You good? It's up to you. I just thought I'd give it to your attention. And then lastly, I just need you to go over some correspondence with some attorney with the board.
Not yet.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay. That it?
That's it for me, except for this non-public. What?
You want to talk about the king?
Oh, yeah. You talk about the king? I've got the cane.
Okay.
It's in my office. Julie has identified and in line for that. She said we need to go meet with that person. I don't know who it is. I don't know any relation. She has a relationship with them or not, but she said we would have to go and see them.
Just see if they wanted to accept it or just...
If they wanted to do like a
ceremony of
any sort, or
talk about the Boston Post cane. And
is it? Can you disclose who the person is?
I don't know who it is. I'm sure Julie could if you asked her.
Yeah, they've got to find out what they want to do. If they want to have kind of ceremony.
Has anybody ever not wanted the cane?
No, but we've also never given it during a COVID crisis, so.
Yeah, they had a COVID.
Yeah, I know. So we're, new territory for everybody. They may not want to have anything public. They don't want to, if you're getting the cane for being the town's oldest resident, you probably want to stay as far away from everybody as you can.
You want to sanitize it,
huh? Yeah.
I would pulse them and see what their thoughts on
on
how they how to receive it.
If they want to come in here and get it,
we can deliver it.
We can deliver it to the home and have a picture taken and something taken.
Okay. I will work with Julie on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It would be nice if we could have something where we could get a picture taken and.
Yeah.
Send in the newspaper about
it.
Would be really good. Okay, in that case, moving on, we'll move on to selectmen's reports. And since the last meeting, I've had a planning board meeting, and we're having another one tomorrow night. We're doing a conceptual with a group. Couple of people coming in, they want to, I think it's a store, if I believe, or something small that they want to try and open up. It's like a mom and pop
home occupation thing.
Yeah. Other than that, the Rec Commission is still in favor of putting on the trunk or treat up behind in the field behind the church, and trying to have some sort of games or something like that for the kids to make it an all-inclusive, so the kids can go up there and get candy and have some fun up there rather than being out on the streets going house to house. COVID precautions would be taken. If that does come to fruition.
I had forwarded Amanda, I think it's NHMA,
mm-hmm.
is doing a webinar on Halloween, talking about some of the issues and some of the risks and liabilities. So I think she was going to sign up to listen to that. Just make sure we've got everything covered.
Yeah. She's pretty good at that.
Yeah. Yep. No, it just happened to pop up in my email, so.
Yeah. And that's all I've got.
I did get notification that we were not selected for that grant to refurbish Old Town Hall. We had applied for it back in the spring. So they don't tell you why. They just say, you know, you weren't selected.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can hold on to it. They'll probably have another round next year. We've got the hard work is done. It's all put together.
Yeah.
So we can just duplicate resubmit it again for further disapproval.
Have to wait more than 90 days. So.
Yeah, we wait a year. The building construction committee is moving along. We've gotten a preliminary concept for the refurbishment of this building, you know, adding on, co-locating the police and town office. Steve Hankard looked at it. He was happy with the police side. Trish and Julie provided some feedback on what they proposed. You know, this is all very still preliminary. They're just trying to understand what the needs are.
Yeah.
And, you know, they missed a couple of things. So, but we're still pushing to get that design finished by October 12th. Actually, both designs, the new building on the hill and the one down here, so that we can bring it back to the board and start going out and talking to people and getting feedback, seeing what their opinions are, getting any other ideas or any concerns. So we're going to meet again tomorrow night and try to finalize that kind of schedule. And what we envision will be a series of public meetings, not maybe one public hearing that the board would chair, but more just information meetings for people to be able to talk about the proposal, identify exactly what was being done. And, you know, we probably some open houses so people can come down and take a look again if they want to.
Yeah.
Not that we didn't get a lot of takers last fall when we did it, but you never know.
Once they hear that there's some proposals on the thing, they may want to
exactly
educate a little bit more.
And so we'll hopefully finish that schedule up tomorrow night, and then get ready to start moving out once we get some designs finished up. Conservation Commission met last week. Not a lot of activity. I don't know. They drafted some guy named Ray to help them fill out their budget. So
never happened.
He's
a tough guy to get a hold of.
Yeah. And then I also got, I don't know if I call it a complaint, but we got a notice from a resident about a concern about some of the Japanese knotweed, you know, the big bloomy stuff all down the sides of the road. And I guess the highway department was doing some work up on Knox Mountain Road, up on Steel Hill Road, where there were some that was really hanging into the road, so they were trying to push it back. Well, when they pushed it back, they kind of left it there, so then it was laying exposed, and there was concern about it spreading, because it is, you know, so invasive and very difficult. So it was...
It's one of the schools of thoughts on the knotweed to cut it and let it die, dry
there. It doesn't, though.
I know.
If you cut it, and then it just... Anything you do to it spreads. I mean, so it was actually... with the concern, you know, we got a copy of the state's management guide. And basically, you have to bury it in a pit 10 feet deep, cover it in plastic for like 2 years until it finally dies out. It's almost impossible to kill.
Kind of like American bamboo, trying to get rid of that.
Yeah. So bottom line is, you know, and I talked with Johnny about it. He's corresponded back with the original concern. Board of Selectmen.
Because the recording doesn't stop.
No. Hey, Sue, can you hear us?
I can now.
Okay, we just dialed back in. Thanks for the heads up.
She said it must time out after 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So we
thanks, Sue.
We just talked about Japanese, not wheat.
My favorite subject.
Yeah. all right, and I think that was it. Yeah.
Tom?
Just a couple of things quickly related to the previous minutes. I know we had that petition regarding the Morrison Road, but going back, I think that when Mike Bean was in, he did articulate to us and the police chief there were certain times during the day that he thought people were being too aggressive with their vehicles. And I think the chief had agreed that time permits to go up there during the hours that he had indicated and maybe have more visibility up there. I think that would be a good approach to trying to deal with that particular issue.
Yeah, so I talked to Steve about that on Tuesday because we had lots of quality time at election. He has gone. He's had his officers going up. Yeah. He said he went up there, the morning rush hour is one of them. He said in 25 minutes sitting there, he saw three cars go by. So, and none of them, they were all, maybe 37, but they were all, around the speed limit. So he hasn't collected any data, that says it's really bad. So, but they are continuing to send folks up there and patrol.
I think that's a good alternative to what was proposed.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Packer and Central was in here, and I think it's in the minutes that perhaps the group in town has interested in elder issues. I think Nina Gardner's one.
Jackie Bonafide.
Maybe they could touch base with Pat and see if there's enough interest in town by older people. So there are people going there, but are there more people that would be willing to go there, and should we participate somehow financially to support what's going on down there?
Because when she and I talked before, she said a majority of the people that are going there are Samberton residents.
And so to be clear, they had no problem with people going to the center and participating. What they can't do is use their bus to provide transportation because that was appropriated by TILT. So, that's really what she was looking for is what can we work out with TILT and Northfield and Samberton to chip in somehow so they can justify coming over here to pick somebody up. And she said, up the first handful of calls they got about transportation, like the first five were from Samberton.
Yeah.
And she had to say, sorry, we can't. So, I think it... So I need to make sure that Jackie and the Samberton Connects folks get together with Pat.
Try to work something out.
Yeah.
And then I think we can, look at it as part of our, we've got the outside agencies that we contribute to based on their support of the town. I think that's one we could look at.
Yeah, we can move some of that money around a little bit. And, I don't know whether we could take a little bit of money, reappropriate some of the money, a little bit of money from the welfare budget, so stuff like that. I don't know what she's going to ask for this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's about it.
Okay, I've just got one more thing. Tom, next Wednesday, you're going to have to come in and sign checks. I'm not going to be here.
Okay.
So it'll have to be the two of you sign checks.
Okay. And then what is
I'll
next
be back
Wednesday?
After that.
So that's the 23rd. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'll be gone the first week of October, but we've got a couple weeks before
I'll
that.
I'll be back before then.
Going on your motorhome?
He may be back.
May not be back.
We'll be back. We're taking a car with us, too.
We'll go to California.
Just you need a car from there to get to any of the stores.
Yeah.
Like York Beach, we could walk, but can't up there.
Yep.
Okay. I guess we're on to signatures then.
Well, you want to do...
Yeah,
I've got one. Do you want non-public?
You want to do the non-public first?
We can do whatever you want.
Morrison Road. Anybody talk about putting that speed flashing sign?
That we don't have.
That
effective?
That we don't have.
It was stolen from there, I think, right?
Yeah, it was stolen from Morrison Road last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was on Bay on occasion.
They not only stole the sign, but they stole the post, everything. They backed up to it, pulled the post out.
Post it is great. I
mean, Good night.
Okay. We will be going into non-public session shortly. Selectman present. John Olmstead, yes. Tom Salatello,
yes.
Jim Dick,
yes.
Motion to enter non-public made by Olmstead.
Second.
Seconded by Dick. We will be going into non-public session under RSA 91-A:3, subparagraph 2L. Consideration of legal advice provided by counsel either in writing or orally to one or more members of the public body, even where legal counsel is not present. Roll call to enter non-public. Salatello.
Yes.
Olmstead, yes. Dick.
Yes.
Remove public tape. If applicable, at 7:07 p.m.
All right, Sue, we're going to hang up. We'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
need to go back up when they start talking.
Patillo?
Yeah.
Olmstead, yes. Dick?
Yes.
Motion passed. Recorded by
I had one cup of coffee today and it's really
wow.
I can tell.
That's insane.
Who does that?
Okay, then on to signatures.
You know, announce the...
Oh, yeah. We're back in public session, and discussion on legal matters, no votes were taken.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we're on to signatures.
All righty, I've got a couple from assessing. We have another barn preservation that went that needs to be we need to have a hearing for so I'm going to set that up with Carrie, but similar to the one that we just did.
Okay.
She's got some yield timber cut yield tax that she needed to sign.
Timber cut permits.
Yeah. So here they are.
Yeah, got to sign them in two places. Well,
one
permit.
That one.
It's all one permit. We just need to sign it.
Oh, I see. All one thing. Gotcha.
Where's this one?
All I see is... No? Yeah, all I see is the tax map. 1527.
No. That's the last time I signed one. I signed it, and it was the guy cutting timber in my backyard. It worried me about. He cut right up to my back line. And there was a right-of-way along the park. Lot lines. He cut through the right of way, right to the lot line. And I caught the guy in my backyard twice with his tractor cutting down wood in my backyard, taking it. I approached him one time and he said, tried to tell me it wasn't my backyard, that it was public property. And I told him, okay, fine, I'll call Steve Hankard and have him come out here and settle this. No, I'm going. Got in his tractor and drove off. Lives up on Skyline.
So she had asked, Terry had asked me today, because these people still need to have the public hearing, but then she said that you guys could sign already for the conservation easement, and I didn't know that that seemed appropriate. I thought that we should post the hearing.
Is it a barn? Is it a preservation?
Yeah, a barn.
No, not until after we've had the hearing.
All right, that's what I kind of thought too. So I'm going to post this hearing.
At least I won't.
For. And I told Terry I needed 10 days, so it'll be on the agenda for next meeting.
Okay. Is that his payroll?
Yeah, in a minute, because Tom had a couple from the last meeting that he was in. Here to sign. And
you are so efficient.
I try.
We're signing a check for $11,919.35 to Casella Waste Management Systems. You're signing a check for $10,650.36 to Pike Industries.
Can they tell you about the problem he's having with Casella?
No. Why?
They keep charging us late fees, even though things are getting paid on time. So, just something to be aware of. He's fighting them. I mean, there's no
it doesn't really like add to my general warm feeling of the Casella Corporation. That's a nice way to say that.
Yeah. When I stopped on Thursday when I was dropping off my stuff. I walked in and he's on the phone with him.
This is unacceptable. You keep getting charged.
And it's like $100 every time. And they take it back off. But he's like, we don't need this extra headache.
Right.
Of going through this every month to get you to remove a charge that shouldn't be there because we paid on time.
We're signing a check for $6,302 to Swain Landscaping. Mowing and trimming.
Has anybody else signed up to be on the rotation for mowing the field up there?
No, just the first gentleman. I think that he called me.
He probably did.
Or I dreamt it.
No, I think he did. Because I was asked if anybody else, he asked me if anybody else had, I said, I don't know. You know, he'd have to
ask. That voicemail's on, I think, my old phone, though. It's just gone now. So, yeah, the phone is gone. I mean.
Get rid of it?
Well, I mean.
Or disappear. Oh, your old desk phone.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, okay.
Okay, next thing on the agenda is approval of meeting minutes. I would make a motion that we approve and accept the Samberton Board of Selectmen minutes for September 2nd, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second.
Sue, you're doing a great job with these.
I know, they are really good, too.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
So these are from
9-2.
Last week. Yeah, just they're already approved. They just need to be signed.
In my time as selectman, I've never seen minutes that are this comprehensive, so.
That's my background.
I'd make a motion that we approve the minutes of the Samberton Budget Committee, Joint Budget Committee Board of Selectmen meeting for Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any debate? Any comments on the motion? Questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Our next Board of Selectmen's meeting will be September 30th, 2020 at 5 p.m. Come one, come all. I just need a motion for a moral minority.
Adjourn.
I'll second.
We have a motion. It's non-debatable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? We are in adjournment at 7:26.
Thank you.
Night, Sue.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Stay safe.